Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you this morning, wherever you are. Liz is going to help me with the service this morning. Thank you, Liz. And this is the third Sunday of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In your resurrection, O Christ, let heaven and earth rejoice. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The Lord hears our cries. He has restored us to life and turned our mourning into dancing. So let us come, sing praises to the Lord and give thanks to his holy name. Lord God, you met Saul on the way to Damascus, totally out of the blue. He had no thought of you in his head. But it was your time for him, and things were never the same again. We pray that today it will be our time to meet with you, to experience your blinding light, to have our eyes opened to your glory. Please, Lord, meet us where we need to be met. Amen. And a prayer of confession. Lord God, we ask your forgiveness for the times when we have hurt or denied you by hurting or denying one of your children. We pray that whether you come to us in a loud, clear voice or as a tiny whisper, we will hear and gladly obey. Bless us with your forgiveness and love. Amen. You alone, mighty Lord, have the power to forgive. And to help us see the error of our ways. Thank you for the new perspective we have when we realize we are truly forgiven. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And Liz is going to start us off with our Bible reading, and Helen is going to read the end bit.
The first reading is from Acts 9, starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any were there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus, on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do."
And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Aeneas answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Aeneas went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 30, which we can say together. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favoured me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. When you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and evermore shall be, world without end. Amen. And Liz will read our second reading.
The second reading is John 21 from verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael, and from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, We'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, Throw your net on the right side of the boat. And you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not wish to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God, then said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Native Americans tell the story about an eagle's egg which fell from its nest. A young brave found the egg that had somehow fallen without breaking. Unable to find the nest, the brave put the egg in the nest of a prairie chicken, where it was hatched by the brooding mother hen. The fledgling eagle saw the world for the first time. Looking at the other prairie chickens, he did what they did. He crawled and scratched at the earth. He pecked here and there for stray grains and husks, now and then rising in a flutter a few feet above the earth and then descending again. He accepted and imitated the daily routine of the earthbound prairie chickens, and he spent most of his life this way. Then, as the story goes, one day an eagle flew over the brood of prairie chickens. The now aging eagle, who still thought he was a prairie chicken, looked up in wonder at the great bird soared through the skies. "What is it?" he gasped in astonishment. One of the old prairie chickens replied, "I have seen one before. That is an eagle, the proudest, strongest, and most magnificent of all the birds. But don't you ever dream that you could be like that. You're like the rest of us, and we are prairie chickens." And so, hampered by this belief, the eagle lived and died thinking that he was a prairie chicken. It's a good story, but I think it can be true of many of us. We've been brought up to believe that we are prairie chickens when really we have the capacity to be eagles. Both Saul and Ananias were completely tied into the belief systems of those around them, their experience and their upbringing. It's not really their fault. They were trying to honour God, to keep the commandments and to follow God's way. Saul was a prominent figure of his day. He was destined to become an influential leader in the upcoming generation. He had been a good student, a brilliant student, who was taught by some of the finest scholars. He had been trained in Greek as well as in Hebrew. He knew his culture, his background, his history, and his society. He could look at a person and see things others would overlook. He had been born in what is now Turkey, but educated in Jerusalem, and he was a recognized rising star in the religious community. Saul saw all Christians as enemies of God and zealously persecuted them, even into Damascus. And Saul is clearly the baddie of this story, or at least that is definitely how he was portrayed by my Sunday school teachers in my childhood. And it's a dramatic story. A villain struck down by a flash of light, Jesus' disembodied voice calling him out, and the baddie is going to get what he deserves. Hurrah! But that is not how Saul would have seen himself or a lot of other people. It's important to remember that Saul sees himself as the good guy, trying to protect the faith. Saul loves God and wants to stamp out anything that, in his view, dishonors God. In this case, that meant those Jews who have started to follow Jesus. He sees Jesus's followers, especially those within his own faith, needing rescue. He asks for letters to the synagogue in Damascus that will give him authority to clean up his own faith community and rid it of the straying, unrighteous ones. As far as he is concerned, this is not a matter of going after people just to persecute them, but rather of correcting the Jews gone bad. Saul is the classic example of the devout person who is so determined to do good that they are blinded literally to the destructive consequences of their purity campaign. I can imagine that Saul is shocked not only by the flashing light on the road to Damascus, but by the voice of Jesus and what the voice is saying. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? We might imagine Saul can hardly believe his ears, thinking, who, me, a persecutor? That's not right. I'm trying to stop people falling into error. I'm trying to help them live the way of righteousness. But the trouble with his narrow focus is that it has limited rather than expanded his vision of what God is up to. He is so convinced that other people are making grave mistakes that he cannot see the new thing God is doing in Jesus Christ, and he misreads it completely. And isn't that true of so many of us? We can become blind to the new thing God is doing, and our desire to live in a godly way can end up by being full of unnecessary obstacles and dead ends. How do our ingrained attitudes and religious habits and thinking prevent us from seeing the new thing that God is up to? How do we expand rather than narrow God's mission in the world? And what, with all our best intentions, do we misread completely? I would be shocked to hear Jesus say to me, why do you persecute me? And then, of course, there's Ananias. This is the only story in the New Testament in which he appears. He was apparently a regular member of the local synagogue. He apparently did his best to comply with the Jewish law and apparently had become a believer in Jesus. He was a devout person who was well respected in his community. something that could be said of many of you gathered here today. But both Saul and Ananias had something in common. And what they had in common, I think, is common among many of us too. Both of them had a limited idea about the ways that God can work. Both Saul and Ananias and their blindness that could only be healed by the voice of God. Over the years, what they had been taught to see had affected their vision. Over the years, what they had been taught to see clouded their eyes to the truth around them. And over the years, what they had been taught to see became like cataracts that needed to be removed before the truth could be understood and proclaimed. I know quite a few here today who know all about cataracts being removed. In her book, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, Annie Dillard writes of when surgeons first discovered how to perform cataract operations and began to operate on people who had been blind since birth. The surgeons were able to give them the gift of sight, but not the gift of understanding what they saw. Because they hadn't learnt to see as children, the colours and shapes they now saw meant very little. Some found it an overwhelming experience. One teenage boy threatened to tear his eyes out. Another young woman kept her eyes closed for 2 weeks after her operation to shut out the brightness. When she finally opened her eyes again, she still didn't understand what she saw. But as she looked around, the girl cried out again and again, "Oh God, how beautiful! How beautiful!" With his newfound sight, Ananias approaches Saul, his former enemy and a child of God. Incredibly, Ananias calls Saul brother. At first, Ananias responded to Saul's violent hatred by treating him as an enemy to be feared. But that was before Ananias was given new sight by God. He was being reminded of what it means to love your enemies. Of course, receiving new sight isn't necessarily an easy thing. In fact, receiving new sight can be quite frightening. Where are we blind? Have we formed opinions about people or things that have happened which are narrow and judgmental? Are we open to God's new possibilities? If, like Ananias, we have been blinded at times, we too need to receive new eyes to see. When we can see like Ananias could see, people like Saul are also given new sight. When Ananias touched Saul, it was as though scales came off his eyes and Saul could see again. In a surprising miracle on that day, both men received new sight. Both were healed by the grace of God. Who knows who might benefit from our newfound eyesight? We may greet someone as a brother or sister and change and warm their heart. We may share a simple smile and allow the light of day to shine into the dreariness of another person's life. When we see others as God's children, God is able to work through us to allow them to see that they are indeed God's children. And I think that's what life is all about. Seeing, not with new eyes necessarily, but seeing with God's eyes. That's what happened to Ananias. That's what happened to Saul. And that's what can happen to you and me if we let the grace of God touch us. As frightening as it may be to see clearly, I pray we will all receive new eyes to see in God's way. Amen. And now Liz is going to lead us in our prayers.
Almighty God, we recognize that you are fire, the spark, the vision, the calling that brings us to our knees to pray for those near and far. And so we pray this day for those people and situations that are on our minds and in our hearts. Almighty God, hear our prayer. For those who lead the nations, the good ones and the bad ones, those prepared to apologize for mistakes made, and for those who plow on regardless of chaos and mess they cause. For those who are prepared to change their minds for the greater good of humanity and creation. Almighty God, hear our prayer. For the people of the nations who support their leaders, for those who despair of decisions made, supposedly in their name, for those who decide, whatever the risk to themselves, to speak out against injustice and unfairness, for those who risk their lives for the well-being and the good of neighbors near and far. Almighty God, hear our prayer. For those countries at war, those whose countries want the war, and the countries who don't, but who are unceremoniously dragged into violence and revenge trying to protect peoples and lands, heritage and borders. Almighty God, hear our prayer. For the homeless, the hungry, the dispossessed, for those who face discrimination and injustice, those who feel isolated, lonely and alone, unloved, unwanted, and fearful. Almighty God, hear our prayer. For the ill and those who treat them, who bind their wounds and care for body, mind, and soul. For those who are nearing the end of earthly life that may find comfort, strength, and peace. We remember especially Jack, Rosemary, Chris, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Hilary, Brenda, Roy, Andrew, Paul, Colin, Stephen, Mandy, Brian, Gerald, Tanya, Roger, Ian, Martin, Matthew, Sue, Cynthia, all those at Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. For those who mourn the loss of loved ones, who feel the emptiness and loss, who live with the guilt and regret of things not said and deeds not done. We remember especially Anne Catchpole, Val Drew, Betty Hyman, David Smith, and Karen Woollacott. Almighty God, hear our prayer. Finally, we pray for ourselves that we may follow in the steps of Christ, and in so doing, find peace, love, and contentment, healing, hope, and joy. Almighty God, hear our prayer, and hear all the prayers of our hearts, spoken and unspoken. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
And the collect for the day, the third Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Standing at the foot of the cross, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in
Our
heaven,
Father in heaven,
hallowed be your
hallowed be
name.
your
Your
name.
kingdom
Your
come,
kingdom come,
your will be
your will
done,
be done
on earth as
on
in
earth as
heaven.
in heaven.
Give us today
Give
our
us today
daily
our
bread.
daily bread.
Forgive us our
Forgive us
sins,
our sins,
as we
as we
forgive
forgive
those who
those
sin
who
against
sin
us.
against us.
Lead us not into
Lead us not into
temptation,
temptation,
but deliver
but
us
deliver
from
us
evil.
from evil.
For the kingdom,
The
the power,
kingdom, the
and the
power,
glory
and the
are
glory
yours,
are yours,
now and
now and
forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen.
God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to us who believe the gates of everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
God the Son, who in bursting the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. Amen.
Amen.
God the Holy Spirit, whom the risen Lord breathed into his disciples, empower us and fill us with Christ's peace. Amen. And the
Amen.
blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us and those we love and pray for this day and always. Amen.
Amen.
May we go from this place with perspectives changed. May we have our eyes to see you at work in our lives and community. May we have words of love to offer to people society often shuns. May we trust and obey your call on our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Liz. Thank you,
Thank you.
Helen. Thank you, everyone, for
Thank you,
your
Helen.
company this morning.
Thank you.
I hope you have a good
Thank you.
day, whatever it is you're going to do.
Was good
Thank
service
you
there.
very much.
Thank you.
I'm about to do
Thank
my
you, Steph, Liz,
penultimate
and Helen.
APCM.
Oh,
So
good luck.
hopefully
Take
after
care.
this, one
Take
more
care.
to go. Hurrah!
Oh,
Oh,
bless you.
dear. Yeah.
Well
God bless
done.
everyone. Have a good week.
Have a
Yeah.
good week.
Bye-bye.
Yes,
Thank
thank
you.
you.
You
Next
too.
week. Take
Have
care.
a good
God bless
one.
you again.
Bye. Hope you feel
Bye.
even better next week, Sue.
Yeah,
Take
bye-bye,
care.
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Oh, it's not working.